Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. And we thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. Even though it's snowing here, Lord, we thank you that you're still God and you've kept us safe. And we know that this is just a day that the snow will be gone in a couple of days, and we will continue to worship you and to praise you, Lord God. And for those who have come out, Lord God, I thank you. For those who continue to serve and come out even in this weather, Lord, I thank you. Have mercy upon us. And for those who are watching, Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, speak a word for us in these times. In times like these, we need a Savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. Oh, the songwriter says, be very sure that the anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And so we grip the solid rock today, and this rock is Jesus. Have mercy upon us now and speak a word for us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen and amen. The sting of rejection. C.S. Lewis writes on the deity of Jesus. C.S. Lewis, the great theologian, 20th century, 19th century theologian, writes, he writes in this brief reflection, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. C.S. Lewis is saying that's what people write about Jesus. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. He is Lord and God. Amen. And so we see in this text that Jesus was rejected. My sermon title again is The Sting of Rejection. Rejection is defined as the dismissing or refusing of a personal idea, etc. The spurning of a person's affections, rejection. Some people are reluctant to try, for example, because they fear rejection. That's it in a sentence. Some people are reluctant to try something because they fear rejection. So rejection is the spurning of one's affections, ideas, I thought, the dismissing of it. So today I'd like to say to you that Jesus himself was rejected. Jesus faced rejection from his family members. Scripture tells us that not even his brothers believed in him. We see that in John 7:5. Jesus' own family rejected him as the Messiah. Next point, Jesus faced rejection from people who once claimed to love him. Christ, in his godness, predicted both Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. He saw it coming, but his humanness still experienced the hurt. Jesus was troubled in the spirit as he foretold of Judas's rejection. We see that in John 13:21. Think about it. He had just washed the guy's feet a few verses earlier, symbolizing the laying down of his very life for him. And Peter, who professed his love and commitment to Jesus more ardently than any other, would reject even an association with him in a matter of hours. Sudden, total, heartbreaking rejection. Yes, Jesus felt that. Jesus faced rejection from his father. The night of his arrest, Jesus was very sorrowful, even to death. We see that in Matthew 26:28. He was in such anguish that he started to sweat blood. Luke 22:44. So we see Jesus facing rejection. I think it was more than thoughts of the approaching physical pain that Jesus in this state felt rejection. I think it was the knowledge that he would soon be separated from and abandoned by his father as he hung on the cross dying. Jesus was rejected for us. Rejected for us. Next point, Jesus faced rejection from his community. When Jesus returned to his hometown of Nazareth, neighbors that he grew up with and his family friends took an offense to him. Luke 4:21-30, we read that. He said he was without honor in his hometown. Scripture even says that Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. He knows what it's like to lose the love and support of a community, to feel unwelcome in a place that once was home. The people of Nazareth marvel at Jesus' teaching, yet they minimize his person as a son of Joseph. Just what I was telling the children early. The parallel passage in Mark 6:1-3 gives more context. The people were indignant at worst, patronizing at best towards an uppity hometown boy, taking up the voice of the divine. And so there are two lessons to be taken from Jesus' reply. First, that one's home and family can often be the hardest mission field. We tend to get rejection, friends, from people we know, people we live with at times, and people we work with. People in the church, if the truth of the word of God breaking into the immediate lives cannot be resisted, then it can be minimized. And when people reject you, sometimes they minimize what you're saying or doing to make you feel little. One may hear and appreciate the word, but fail to follow the speaker, since after all, isn't he just Joseph's son? So they use that term, you're just Joseph's son, to minimize Jesus. The second point follows from Jesus' rebuke of his countrymen. And he rebuked them and says, I did not only come for you, I came also for the Gentiles. And Jesus puts himself in the line of the Old Testament prophets and highlights the several places where God blessed foreigners instead of the Jews to whom they were sent and who had rejected them. And so we see Jewish members, Jewish folks rejecting Jesus. The violent reaction to this mirrors the same persecution given to the prophets, proving Jesus' point. Do we reject Jesus now in this world? Yes. There are many people who reject the word of God. When we reject the gospel, we are rejecting Jesus. And all of us, I would imagine, have suffered from rejection some time or the other. So how can we navigate the pain of rejection? How can we navigate the pain of rejection? First slide. How can we navigate the pain of rejection? First point, recognize that you have not done anything wrong because you feel hurt. Rejection actually hurts emotionally and physically. It's an automatic response to rejection that God wired into our bodies. So the bad feelings you experience from rejection don't mean you're a weak leader or a sinful person, right? The rejection recognizes that you are what? You have not done anything wrong because you feel hurt. Now, in the church, with Christian believers, we're not expecting to be rejected. But that happens in the church, friends. And I could give you examples. There are people in the church, and I will speak from my social location. I know that you are at your jobs, and you try to do your best. There are people in the church that I will often, there's some folks in the church that I will see, and I will see them nearby, or I'm passing them, and I'll say nod, or I'll say good morning, or something, and they do not respond. They reject my very advance. Good morning, and they don't even nod or say it is rejection. And we ought not to do that to other Christians. If we're Christians, we're supposed to what? Show love. All right? And so, and they'll pass at you, stare at you, and do not respond. And I want to say to them when they do it to each other that God himself is watching. God sees and God knows. You're also within a rejection. There are a couple of folks that I have not seen at church, not during COVID, before COVID, that I have called up. Call on the phone, call from the church, say my name, leave my number, and say, I am just calling to check you up and see how you're doing. And they have never responded, never called me back. I've sent a card, never responded. But I say to myself, my Savior was also rejected. I'm in good company. And we have to continue to do what we must do. For whatever reason, they have assumed that I've done them something, or don't like what I do or do not, and they what? They reject you. But thanks be to God, I have a Savior who has been rejected. My next point, when rejected, admit the pain you feel. When you're rejected, admit the pain you feel. Don't ignore or suppress your emotions. The problem is self-defeating. When we ignore or suppress our emotions, it actually makes our painful emotions more intense internally. However, it's scientifically proven that when we name our painful emotion, we actually lessen their intensity. When we name this emotion that we are hurt, and sometimes we can't even tell people in the church or on our job that we're hurt, but guess who we could tell? We could take it to the Lord in prayer. Take our pain to the Lord in prayer. Number three, refuse to base your identity on your ability to make 100% of the people happy 100% of the time. And pastors have that problem, like all of us do. We cannot make 100% of the people are happy 100% of the time. School teachers have that problem. Anytime you deal with people, we have to understand that. Not even Jesus himself made 100% of the people happy 100% of the time. Because remember what I said, they tried to throw him over the hill because he was speaking the word of God. Amen? A temptation many good Christians face is to keep people happy 100% of the time. Trying to do that will kill you. It will literally kill you if you try to keep people happy 100% of the time. We certainly don't want to intentionally make people mad, but some people will never be pleased. Not if you walk on water, they will never be pleased. No matter what you do, and no matter what you say. Jesus, the perfect leader, didn't please everyone. In fact, John records this rejection. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many of Jesus' disciples would turn back and no longer follow him. They rejected him. We see that in John 6:66. Number four, don't magnify the pain by rejecting the one who rejects you in turn. Listen, it's very difficult as a Christian. Do not reject the person who rejects you. And something I have to learn, and something we all have to learn, sometimes someone rejects you, like you're in this guy wrote this little thing I read, and he says he was on the job, and he was a Christian believer, and no matter what he tried to do, this person rejected him. And then he made up in his mind that he would not walk near him, he would not speak to him, but the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart. And one day he decided, instead of walking on the other side, he walked on the side that he was. And he started saying good morning to him, whether he answered or not. Do you know how the Lord honors that? You know the Lord honors when you push through, when someone is rejecting you and you push through, and you treat them well, that God will pour down blessings upon you, because Jesus understands, right? It's tempting to cut your rejectors off by rejecting them. When we do, we only exacerbate our pain, because then we have to be thinking of them, and the pain gets greater and greater. But what a joy it is to love them like Jesus loves you. To love them like Jesus loves you. And the Bible tells us when they heard the insults at him, he did not retaliate. Jesus did not. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Right? When people reject you, you don't make any threats. You take it to the Lord in prayer. Number five, step back to keep or regain perspective. Sometimes you have to step back to keep or regain perspective. When rejection stings, our perspective can quickly become cloudy. We can easily extrapolate the rejection in our minds and assure that many other people feel the same way or will do the same thing. And so you have to remember, a rejection by one person is a rejection by one person. And how true it is. Because on the other hand, there are many people here who always go out of the way to say a kind word to me, send a card. The older people, when my brother passed away, some people you thought would have sent a card or say, I'm sorry, not one word. And some people you thought who would not, made sure. So we cannot, right? You have to regain perspective, because that one person is rejecting you. Do not put it on everybody and say everybody in your church is rejecting you. Remember that there are people, some of the older people here, who are so kind and loving, and always asking about my care. You see, such rejection seldom reflects the viewpoints of others. So guard against the proverbial blowing things out of proportion. Don't blow it out of proportion, right? Sometimes maybe it's something going on in their life, and you just keep praying for them. Number six, journal your feelings. Right? When you feel rejected, journaling our painful feelings can take the sting out of them. Write it down. Sometimes when you feel rejected, write it down. As you're praying about it, write it down. And number seven, Always pray and read God's word. Always. When you're rejected, always pray and read God's word. Remember, God is with you, for he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Let us not forget Jesus, our Savior, was rejected too. Let's not forget that we are not in this alone. The Lord is in it with us. And so we can go through. You see, it is beautiful to have a Savior called Jesus who is a living Savior. And he says there's nothing that we can go through that he has not gone through. And so when we look at the Jeremiah text, just a couple of verses of the Jeremiah text, we remember that God is the one who calls us into right relationship with him. God is the one who has touched our hearts and bring us into right relationship with him. He said to Jeremiah as a boy, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you." We need to remember that the Lord knows us before we were born. When we were in the womb, he knows us. He knows everything about us, and he loves us. Amen? He loves our waking. He loves us so much that he would send Jesus. And he knows our waking up and our lying down. He knows the pain that we go through, the pain of rejection. He understands, and we could bring it to him. And then he says to Jeremiah, "Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." We don't have to be afraid. When we're weary, we don't have to be afraid. When we're not feeling, you know, as if people appreciate what we're doing. Do you know how many pastors are retiring? The pastors who are weary. I just said last week, another one of my colleagues, they can't do it anymore after COVID and all of that. They get beat up no matter what they do. They're these folks who sit on their benches, and they're not going to sit in the pews. And everything they do, they look at it. You know what I'm talking about if you're in your jobs. You know, in your relationships. And they never have a kind word to say, but everything you do, every slip up you make, or whatever they may think is slip up, they journal that, right? They journal it, and they never have good things to say. And you have to find it within yourself, friends. Find it within. How many folks have told me they work for years in corporations and businesses, and when COVID came, their offices just cut them off, some of them, just like that. After they got their grants from the government, the PPPs from the government, when that ran out, they just cut them off. Many years they worked with them and didn't have a benefit for them. And they've just rejected them. And how broken these people feel. And when I talk to them, I have to say to them, remember the Lord is with you. And he's going to make a way out of no way. He's going to figure it out. He understands your pain. The songwriter says, "Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there, leave it there." When the world around you are going crazy, the songwriter, I'm going to find that little word, it just came to my heart. He tells you, Jesus, as I close, the songwriter wants you to just lift up that burden and take it to the Lord and leave it there. There are many people who are suffering now because of rejection, because of deep rejection, right? And they're suffering. They become suicidal. They become depressed. Young people become depressed and all of that. But here's what the songwriter tells us. He says, if the world from you withhold its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fear, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there, leave it there, leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Amen? So when you're overwhelmed, when you're rejected, when you feel broken, you could call on Jesus because he understands. He knows. Take your burden to him and leave it there. And I always remember when I feel as if someone has done that to me and I may get caught up in myself, I hear the Spirit of God says, I am with you. Let it roll off. I'm with you. And he's saying it to all of you now online and here. I am with you even until the end of the ages. He's with us. And he'll bring us through. So don't let rejection keep you down. Rise up like Jesus. Rise up with him because he will support you. Amen. Thanks be to God for his faithfulness to us. And thanks be to God for a Savior who goes through what we have gone through and have the answer. Amen.